But good morning. Good to see you. If you want to come back to Matthew chapter 6, that passage that we're going to be looking at, just a very few short verses, but not short on a very powerful punch when we look at some of the challenges that come from Jesus in this passage this morning. If you take time to look at our new teaching program, you'll have noticed already that we're doing things a little bit differently over the autumn term. We're starting properly into Romans chapter 8 next Sunday morning, this wonderful title of Supernatural Living for Natural People. We're going to be in Romans chapter 8 for about 8 or 9 weeks. Suggestions already going around, that's long enough for us to actually memorize Romans chapter 8. When did you last memorize a bit of scripture? I'll tell you a story a little bit later on, not today, but on another Sunday, of how poor I am, actually, of memorizing. I don't remember things terribly clearly, but it'd be a great challenge, wouldn't it, over 7 or 8 weeks to learn Romans chapter 8, not just what it's saying to us, but actually to know it, be able to use it in that way. During that series on Romans chapter 8, we're going to pause a number of times to look at some topical issues. So this morning we're looking at money matters. In October, we're going to look at marriage matters. We live in a society that has redefined marriage in recent months. We want to see what the Bible has to say to us about marriage. What do we believe about marriage as Christians, as the followers of Jesus Christ? We're thinking about doing one of news matters. This may look like work matters. We may take a look at workplace issues related to the workplace and how we follow Christ in the workplace, but this is certainly one we will do at some point. News matters, looking at a news story and saying, okay, how do we think as Christians about what's going on in the news? So that's a little bit later on. But this morning we're coming back to this subject of money matters from Matthew chapter 6. And I don't know about you, but is money sometimes a subject that sometimes we prefer not to think about? And because we don't think about it perhaps as often as we do, we don't often take time to actually sit down and say, what does the Bible have to say to us about money? As the followers of Jesus, how does the Bible teach me about handling money? And yet the Bible has so much to say about money. It's really interesting when you sit down and you begin to dig around and you begin to read what some people say about what the Bible teaches about money. You come up with some very interesting figures. This week, as I looked at this, prepared for this passage, I discovered that about 10% of the Gospels contain teaching about money. That half of the parables which Jesus told are all about money and possessions. And you know how some people sit down and they sort of total up the number of verses of the Bible that speak about certain subjects? I've never been able to do that. I'm glad other people do that for me. But I'm told, and you can check this out if you want to, that there in the Bible as a whole there are 500 verses about prayer, 500 verses about faith, and 2,000 verses about money and possessions. Now that suggests to me that there's something about money and possessions that we particularly need to focus on, some things that we need to be aware of. So for the next few minutes this morning, we're going to devote some time to see what the Bible and Jesus in particular has to say to us about money. How are we to use it, for example? What are the warnings that we need to heed about money and possessions? What are the principles that we need to put into practice as the followers of Jesus? So let's take a closer look at this subject this morning, Matthew chapter 6, that Chris read for us just a few moments ago. And according to some commentators that I've looked at this week, few preachers dare to face. Perhaps this morning we'll discover why when we see some of the challenges that are in it. Let's come to Matthew 6. I want to read it one more time to you. You've got it open in front of you. Very short passage, isn't it? Context is the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is teaching the potential followers of Jesus about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. What are the values that are important in terms of the kingdom of God? Here's what Jesus says in verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. Here's the alternative. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Verse 22. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Wow, that's pretty much to the point, isn't it? That's what Jesus is saying. He cannot serve both God and money. Let's see why it is that Jesus concludes with this powerful statement. I don't know about you, but I think when Christians tend to think about money, sometimes we have something of a love-hate relationship with it. We love what money enables us to do. And we recognize that money is part of God's generous gift to us. And yet we struggle with it often. We have problems with it. If you were here last Sunday morning, we were thinking about the pull that materialism and greed has over our lives. We heard the warning words from Jesus to be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Maybe you can identify with the comedian who said, money talks, but mostly what it says to me is goodbye. Identify with that. So what does Jesus have to teach us about money? Well, let's come back to this passage in Matthew chapter 6. In Nicky Gumbel's book, Challenging Lifestyles, he writes this on this particular passage that we're looking at this morning. He says, if we grasp Jesus' teaching in this section of the Sermon on the Mount, it will transform our lives. It will affect our security. It will affect our vision. And ultimately, it will affect our relationship with God. Yet few people seem to have caught hold of what Jesus is saying. So if that is true, what is it that Jesus is saying to us about money in these verses? Is there anything here that can help us to deal with the way that we understand the money that God has given to us? It's not difficult to spot, is it, that this passage is all about money. What does Jesus say at the end of it? Verse 24, you cannot serve both God and money. Essentially, this is the passage which exposes to us the power that money has over our lives. And I want to take it that way this morning because I want you to see firstly how Jesus exposes in this passage the reason that money has so much power over us. Why does it have so much power over us? Well, let's unpack this a little bit this morning. It actually gives us power, if you think about it, because in many ways money is a tangible form of power. For example, it gives you the opportunity and the power to walk into a restaurant and to pay for someone else to cook and serve you dinner. It gives you the power to have that experience. Money gives you the power to transfer the ownership of something from someone else into your own possession. It gives you the power to live in a certain place. It gives you the power to live at a certain standard. In another sense, money is simply bartering, if you like, without the goats. We've now introduced money into the system. It becomes a convenient way for our society to organize the exchange of goods and services. And because of that, because it represents the potential to do things or to own things, money in our society today becomes a measure of wealth. So often we measure other people by the money that they have, by the things that they own, or for that matter, by the things that they do not have or do not own. So why is it that money seems to have this kind of power over us? Jesus says in verses 19 to 21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Verse 21. Here it is in black and white. Where your treasure is, says Jesus, there your heart will be also. Jesus wants us to understand that money has a power over us that needs to be exposed. It gives us significance, something else we need to pick up in this passage this morning. One of the reasons why we need so much money so often is that because it gives us a certain significance. It allows us to live in a certain place. And it allows us to live in a certain way. Money allows us to belong to a particular social circle. Money allows us to dress in a particular way. It allows us to take a certain kind of holiday. It can lead us sometimes to feeling superior to those who have less because money has the power to give us significance. It really can exercise real power over our lives. And it has the power to make us feel secure. We're thinking about this last Sunday, weren't we? That if I have money if I have money, that I'm in control in an uncontrollable world. If I have money, then somehow or other I have control over my life. If I have money and things happen to me that I don't like, I will be safe. Like the little man in the story that we looked at last Sunday morning. He had more than he needed, and his philosophy for life was eat, drink, be merry. Here Jesus exposes why money has so much power over us. Why is it so tempting to use our money and to store up for ourselves treasures on earth? Why is it so tempting to use our money in ways that, which make us feel significant and secure? Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What Jesus is saying to us in the opening verses of this little passage is that our attitude towards money will reveal the values that we're really living for. If you look with me at verses 19 to 21, you'll see that Jesus is saying there are two kinds of treasures. There are treasures in heaven and there are treasures on earth. That's the comparison which Jesus makes in verses 19 and 20. He's drawn a contrast between two different types of treasure. And the call to the followers of Jesus in this passage is to establish heavenly treasure. What does that mean? Well, it means using our money and our possessions for things that will last. By using our resources for the business of building God's kingdom rather than our own. Of valuing what is really valuable by working at what God is up to and investing in it. These verses challenge our priorities when it comes to how we use our money. Why? Because it has power over us. It gives us significance. It gives us security. But Jesus is not saying to us that we need to give everything away. Let's not misunderstand what he's saying here. He's not saying it's wrong to invest money. He's not saying it's wrong to enjoy the good things of life. Jesus is not concerned in this passage with our wealth, but he's concerned with our hearts. He's concerned about our love of money and the power that money can have over us, because he knows the power that money has, the power to actually take us away from God, to give us significance, to give us security, to give us power, which in a sense are things that we should find in our relationship with God and not in our relationship with money. Jesus says, store up treasures for yourself in heaven, verse 20. So Jesus begins here firstly by exposing the power that money has over us. It does give us power, doesn't it? It gives us power to do things and to live in a certain way. It does give us significance. It does give us a certain level of security. But Jesus exposes in these verses the emptiness of living in a world where eventually our clothes wear out. And eventually our precious metals will turn to rust, and often our treasures can be stolen. Some of us have had that experience, haven't we? So here Jesus shows us firstly why money has so much power over us. Secondly, in verses 22 and 23, he shows us how that happens to us. How is it that we can end up in that position where money has this kind of power and influence over our lives? Jesus goes on to speak about vision. Verse 22 and 23, he says, the eye is the lamp of the body. He's speaking here not about our physical vision, but about our spiritual vision. A few years ago, like probably some of you sitting here this morning, I discovered that I was unable to see things as clearly as I would like to see them. I'd been wearing glasses since the age of 12, I think, actually. But I kind of reached that stage of life where if I wanted to read up something close up, I had to sort of take the glasses off and hold something up close here or further away. Some of you have sort of had that experience. You know what that feels like. There's quite a few of you sitting here with glasses this morning. You know what that's like, that sense of not being able to see things clearly. Things become fuzzy, don't they, and out of focus. In a sense, that's what Jesus is saying here when he speaks about our spiritual vision in verses 22 and 23. He says, the eye is the lamp of the body. What he's saying to us here is, he says, if your physical eyes are good, says Jesus in verse 22, then it will affect your whole body. Well, that's easy for us to understand, isn't it? If your physical eyes are good this morning, even with the aid of glasses and you can see clearly, and if there's light in this room and your eyes are working properly, you will take the light in from this room and you will be able to see things clearly. You can move around this room this morning without bumping into each other. You can manage to walk down the aisle. You can find your way in and out of the doors. You will be able to see where things are. You will be able to get around without stumbling or falling. On the other hand, if your eyes are not working properly, it'll be like moving around in darkness. In a sense, your whole body will be in darkness because it affects your ability to move around safely. That's what Jesus is saying here in these verses. Except he's speaking about spiritual vision. If your physical eyes are not working, then in a sense your whole body is in darkness. That's what Jesus goes on to say. If your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Jesus is using a picture of our physical eyesight teaches about our spiritual vision and our capacity to understand money from God's point of view. I'm sorry to keep going back to last Sunday, but these two Sundays fit together so well. Last Sunday we looked at how greed has the desire and the capacity to blind us spiritually, didn't we? We saw that greed makes us completely self-centered. We saw how greed blinds us to the needs of other people. We saw how greed can actually disconnect us from God altogether. And Jesus here in verses 22 and 23 wants us to understand that money has the power to blind us spiritually. It can stop us from asking the questions that we should be asking about the way that we use our money. It can stop us from seeing what God wants us to do with our money. If the light within you is darkness, says Jesus in verse 23, how great is that darkness? That's the whole point of Jesus' illustration about the eye in verses 22 and 23, where he's showing us how money has so much power over us. It's what comes in through our eyes. It's what we begin to see spiritually about the priorities that come from following Jesus. And that's what Jesus offers us in the Sermon on the Mount, a whole new way of understanding about how we live our lives as Christians, something which affects every aspect of our lives. It is a new way of seeing life from God's point of view. It's all a question of vision. If we have good physical vision, we can see what we're doing and we can see where we're going. If we have good spiritual vision, the same is true. But if our spiritual vision becomes clouded by money and the love of material things, we will lose our sense of values, and then our whole life will be affected because of the power that money has to block our spiritual vision. That's what Jesus is teaching in verses 22 and 23. So let's pause. What's Jesus teaching us about money in this passage? 19 to 21, he shows us how money has this amazing power over us. He exposes the power that money has over us. He shows us how it can give us significance. He shows us how it can give us security. He shows us how it can actually give us power to do things. And then secondly, verses 22 and 23, Jesus shows us how money exercises that ability over us. He talks about our spiritual vision and the way that we see things and understand things as the followers of Jesus affects everything that we do, and particularly how we use our money in this particular case. But one of the things I love about the teaching of Jesus, it is so practical. Jesus exposes the power that money has over us. He shows us how it happens, how it comes about in our lives. But then he shows us what we need to do about it. So if you come down to verse 24, you begin to see that Jesus says to us very clearly, he says, this is how you break the power that money has over your life. What does he say? He says at the end of verse 24, you cannot serve both God and money. Jesus is saying to us quite simply is this, that when it comes to money, as the followers of Jesus, there is a deliberate choice that you need to make. Back in verse 19, Jesus says, you cannot store up for yourselves treasures on earth, but you need to understand that this is about storing up treasures in heaven. Or to put it another way, don't treasure earthly possessions, but treasure heavenly treasure. All of us probably have something that we treasure in life, don't we? Something that fills our heart, something that says to us, if we have this, life is worth it. Some of us, it might be money. It could also be a career. It could be the prospect of retirement, or perhaps it's something else, but whatever it is, it's our treasure. It's the thing that we treasure most. Some of you know that I'm really into films. Some of you may have seen the film entitled Lord of the Rings. Even if you know nothing about this film, let me just say very briefly that it features a special ring, and whoever owns this beautiful ring refers to it in the movie not as a ring, but as the precious. If you have this, you have all that you need. And at the center of our lives lies the precious, something that is precious to us. If I have this, then it's worth it. When it comes to following Jesus, we are challenged to make some important decisions, some important choices, to stick with some important priorities. Jesus says in verse 24, you can't serve two masters. It's quite simple. He says either you will hate one or you will love the other. Either you will be devoted to the one or you will despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And here's where the Christian faith gets serious when it comes to following Jesus. See, the Christian faith points us to the person of Jesus Christ. It points us to the person who had the ultimate status and the ultimate security. It points us to the one who humbled himself. It points us to the one who gave up everything, who lost all of his treasure, and who died for people like you and me so that we could be called a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a people belonging to God, God's treasure. That's how much God treasures people like you and me. That's what sets us free from the power of money and material things, by making a deliberate decision to treasure Jesus more than anything else. And in this case, it includes money. So how do you apply this passage this morning? How do you know that money no longer has that power over you? Let me suggest three very simple questions that we could ask when we come to working out what this means this morning for us as the followers of Jesus Christ. Here's the first question. How do you react to those who have more than you? How do you react to those who are richer than you are? If you envy those who have more than you, that shows that money still has power over your life. If you look at their homes and their money and their status and their stuff, that shows that money still has power over you. It shows that we are lacking in spiritual wealth. That's one way that we can look at this passage this morning. Well, let's flip that over. How do you react to those who have less than you do? I'm not just talking about the picture that's on the screen and those who live in abject poverty, but simply those who have less than you have this morning. To be set free from the power of money means respecting those who have less, learning not to look down on others. Here's a third question we can ask from this passage this morning. How generous am I with my money? Jesus says, doesn't he, in verse 22, he says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If it is good, if it is generous, then the whole body will be generous. If we've discovered that Jesus is our treasure, then we will have generous eyes if we see ourselves as God's possession. Or if we've made a decision to love money more than God, the question answers itself, doesn't it? See, if we're generous with our money, we will always be looking for ways to use our money for the benefit of others. For our friends, for our neighbours, for our church, for the poor, for our local community, for the world in which we live. It means that we will always be looking at ways in which we can give some of our money away. Jesus says in this passage, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If Jesus is our treasure, we will be able to love those who have more than us. If Jesus is our treasure, we will be able to love those who have less than us. If Jesus is our treasure, we will be generous with our money, because through the death of Jesus Christ, God breaks the power that money has over us. Money really does matter. That's what Jesus is saying in this passage. To go through what we've been learning from this passage this morning, Jesus exposes the power that money has over us. It gives us the power to do things that we couldn't do without it. It gives us a certain level of power. It empowers us. It has the ability to give us significance and security. But Jesus wants us to see how that comes about. How does it happen? How does this come about in our lives? Well, he says you need to understand that the eye is the lamp of your body. What goes into your eyes will affect everything. It will affect everything that you do. It will affect your priorities. It will affect you, the way that you live. It affects every aspect of your life. And finally, in this little passage, Jesus shows us that the only way that we can break the power that money have over us is through the cross, by making a deliberate decision to treasure Jesus more than we treasure money. You cannot serve both God and money. That's what Jesus says at the end of this passage. You cannot serve God, both God and money. Now, Jesus is not saying that you cannot earn a living. He's not saying that you can't save for the future. He's not saying that you have to give everything away. He's not saying that you cannot have riches, that you cannot have material things. He's not saying that we cannot have that kind of stuff. What he is saying to us here is this, that things and money cannot have us if we are serious about following Jesus. You cannot serve both God and money. It's a question of priorities. It's a question of power. Because if we fail to recognize that all that we have comes to us from a gift from God, that Jesus died in order that we might too belong to God, then one day we will discover that our money and our possessions own us. Or in the words of the little story that we looked at together last Sunday morning, Luke chapter 12, what does Jesus say about somebody who decides to live with more than he needs? God says to him, "You foolish person." He says, "Tonight you're going to die." He says, "Then who's going to get it all?" And then at the end of that story, Luke 12, Jesus says, "Everyone is a fool who gets rich on earth, but not in heaven." Same thing that Jesus is saying to us in this passage. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Money really does matter, according to Jesus. And my prayer is that God will help us all to put into practice these challenging words from Jesus this morning. Amen.